रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अयोध्याकांड चैप्टर नंबर 91 भरद्वाज फीस्ट. When Bharata had signified his consent to accept his hospitality, the sage said to him, Child, I would have you and your people dine with me. And to him, Bharata replied, Holy sir, I am delighted beyond measure, more than if I were royally entertained by you, by your kind hospitality, to be with whatever your hermitage can afford. Bharadwaja smiled gently as he said to himself, Bharata thinks that it is cruel to trouble me, a poor hermit, living in the forests. He knows not what I can do. Full well do I know, he said aloud, your devotion to me and the pleasure you derive from my poor hospitality. Kindly understand that I desire to give you a feast to your retinue and troops. It behooves you to accept kindly what I have to offer in all love. Why have you kept your troops far away? I knew, replied Bharata, that a king or a prince does ill to approach with his retinue and troops the hermitages of holy rishis. It might interfere with their devout meditations. I came here all alone, fearing to displease your reverence. Maddened elephants, horses, chariots, infantry, and camp followers spread through the woods in countless numbers. Incalculable damage might ensue to the forts, the cottages, and to the trees, birds, and beasts that are attached to the holy spots. So I but did right to leave them at a distance. Nay, nay, said the sage, let it not concern you anyway. Lead them all here. Then Bharata sent for his ministers and bade them bring his attendants and troops to the ashrama of sage Bharadwaja. Thereafter, the Maharishi entered the fire chamber where the gods had their places. He sipped water thrice, wiped his face twice, touched his head, eye, nose, ears, and the heart, and called upon Vishwakarma to help him give a feast to Bharata and his hosts. I call upon Vishwakarma and Maya, the architects of the gods and asuras. I will give a feast to the prince Bharata and the troops that have come with him. Make the necessary arrangements towards it. I call upon Indra, Yama, Varuna and Kubera, the regents of the worlds, and also Agni and the other shining ones to assist me in offering due hospitality to Bharata. Let the naiads in all the worlds come here, the guardian spirits of the rivers flowing east and of those flowing west. Let some of the streams run with thick myrrha, let some run with wine, let others run with cool water, sweet as the juice of sugarcane. I call down here Haha, Huhu, Vishwavasu and other Gandharvas, the apsaras that claim descent from the gods and the Gandharvas, Gritachi, Visvachi, Mr. Keshi, Alambusha, Nagadanta, Hema, and Swayamprabha, whose home is in the mansion built for her by Maya in the cave of Mount Mahendra, Rambha, Urvashi, Menaka, and the other apsaras that wait upon Indra, the apsaras that abide in the heaven of Brahma, and Tumburu, the master of music and dancing, with all the necessary accompaniments. I invoke Kubera, the guardian of the north, to send me here the forests of Chaitraratha in the land of Uttarakuru, with its leaves of robes, ornaments of celestials, and fruits of celestial nymphs. Let Chandra, the presiding deity over the plants and herbs of mystic virtue, prepare enough dainty food and varied dishes, sour, pungent, astringent, sweet, saline, and bitter, wreaths of diverse shades and perfumes just dropped from trees, an infinite variety of drinks. And Bharadwaja, of boundless yogic might, wisdom, and spiritual luster, recited the mantras that invoke their respective powers with due rhythm and rites. He faced the east with clasped hands and sent forth his thought, when lo, the mighty presences were there one by one. A cool breeze and pleasant blew over the place, laden with the fragrance of the mounts Malaya and Mandara, the home of sandalwood. It chased away heat, sweat, languor from the body, and left behind it an indescribable sense of bliss. Flowers of heaven rained thick upon the place. The celestial orchestra thundered overhead. The chorister of Indra's court discoursed sweet music, vocal and instrumental. apsaras glided about in mazy evolutions of dance. These trains, in perfect pitch and time, sent streams of exquisite joy through the ears and hearts of all beings in the three worlds. When the sounds died away, the troops of Bharata witnessed the marvelous might of Vishwakarma. For a distance of 5 yojanas, the ground was leveled smooth and carpeted with soft green grass, as if inlaid with gems of varied hue. Mango, jackfruit, pineapple, wood apple, and amalaka and other trees sprang up in ordered confusion. From the Uttarakuru, there came down the garden Chaitrarata with heavenly delights. Countless rivers and streams were present, lined with beautiful trees. Royal quarters, palaces, mansions, pleasure houses, kiosks, storied buildings, splendidly fitted, spacious courts enclosed by lofty corridors, stables for elephants, horses, mules, and cattle, and garages for every kind of conveyance rose on every side. The palace designed for Bharata was tastefully adorned with arches, garlands, flags, couches, divans, and seats upholstered in skill and brocade, while priceless rugs and carpets covered the floor. Gorgeous robes, drinks, confectionaries, essences, extracts, preserves, perfumes, and rare and costly articles of virtue met the eye on every side. With the gracious permission of the Maharishi, Bharata made his entry into the palace, flashing with gems and gold. His ministers, priests, and attendants entered with him and were struck dumb with surprise and awe at the sights that dawned upon them. They passed on into the hall of audience and beheld a marvelous throne placed in the center of it, fashioned like the royal seat of the Lord of Celestials, while there stood nearby the snow-white umbrella and chariots with golden handles and gems. Bharata installed on it in reverent thought Rama, the idol of his heart, went round it at the head of his ministers and bowed himself to the earth over joined palms. He worshipped him mentally and made it plain to all that he was but the humble servant of Lord Ramachandra, by occupying a seat below it reserved for the ministers of state and waving aloft the royal chariot. Counselors and dignitaries seated themselves as became their rank and station. The commander-in-chief, his generals and captains seated themselves behind them. Then there approached Bharata in obedience to the orders of Bharatraja, streams thick with payasa, while the banks were lined with mansions of various styles of architecture, wonderfully plastered. Next, there appeared on the scene 20,000 apsaras sent by Brahma, gaily adorned. Another 20,000 arrived later, resplendent with gold and gems, pearl and coral, the contingent sent by Kubera. The holy scriptures declare that anyone who falls into their hands goes clean daft. A third troop succeeded them, 20,000 in number, from Nandana, the garden of Indra. Narada, Tumburu, and Gopa, the Gandharva kings of blinding glory, made their appearance. Alambusha, Mishrakeshi, Pundarika, Vamana, and other celestial apsaras danced before Bharata, commanded thereto by Bharatvaja. All that is rare and lovely in Chaitrarata and in the heavenly world transported themselves to Prayaga by his yogic might. The bilva played on the mridanga, while the tani kept accurate time. The pipala danced gaily with the sarala, taka, tilaka, and naktamalika moved here and there as dwarfs and hunchbacks. The shimshipa, amalaki, jambu, and other forest trees, the malati, mallika, jaji, and other woodland creepers turned themselves into lovely damsels and said to the assembled multitudes, "We are here for you to enjoy us as much as you like, votaries of the wine cup. Just have a taste of these rare liquors. Hungry men, have your fill of our payasa and pure sweetmeats." Every man was taken charge of by 7 or 8 ladies who anointed him with rare essences and oils, gave him a fine bath, dressed him in gay apparel and ornaments, massaged his limbs, and made him drink on the sly. elephants, horses, camels, mules, and bulls were sumptuously filled with sugar canes, fried rice mixed with honey, and other favorite delicacies by those whom the Maharishi deputed to take care of them. The keepers and grooms that followed the army lay in a supremely blissful state of inebriation and cared not what became of their charges. The countless hosts of Bharata had enough and more of enjoying the dainty viands, drinks, garments, ornaments, pastes, perfumes, reeds, and what else their heart craved. Apsaras, like lampened lightning among the clouds, loaded them with attentions and favors. They lost all self-control and exclaimed in abandonment of their joy. May all good go with you, Bharata. Hail Rama. We will not go back to Ayodhya nor forward to Dandaka. Let our masters please themselves. Foot soldiers, keepers, and grooms clean forgot they had anyone over them and roared in wild chorus, transported with what they saw, heard, and enjoyed. Some called out, "Here, my friends, this is Swarga, this is the mansions of the blessed." Some laughed uproariously all the while, without any visible reason therefore. Some sang fitfully, some danced and capered about, some ran hither and thither, decked with reeds and garlands. They ate until they could eat no more, but their mouth watered when they looked again at the delicious viands, drinks, and confections. Servants, retainers, soldiers' wives, and camp followers rejoiced beyond measure at the new and gorgeous garments they were dressed in. Elephants, mules, camels, horses, and other birds and beasts brought by the troops for sport knew no bounds to their joy and were so full, thanks to the splendid hospitality of sage Bharadwaja, that they turned away with satiety and disgust at the very mention of food. There was no one in that vast multitude hungry or faint or dusty or unadorned with garments of spotless white. Great was the wonder of everyone at the sight of those white hills of boiled rice, decorated with numberless wreaths, high-class condiments, fruits preserved in sugar and honey, curious preparations of boiled paste of various kinds, fragrant extracts and juices. Numerous wells flanked the forest, brimming with payasa. The cows that ranged therein streamed with milk. The trees rained honey. Pools of maireya were surrounded by hillocks of curiously prepared meat of deer, peacock, fowl, geese, and other creatures, served steaming hot in huge pots. The ground was covered with innumerable articles of dinner service, all of beaten gold. Millions of goblets, jars, casks, and jugs were filled to overflowing with curds. Large lakes ran over with rasala, some with curds, some with payasa, and some with churned whey. Sweet cakes were piled near them as condiments to give point to the drinks. Pastes, powders, decoctions, oils, hot water in huge cauldrons invited the passers-by to bathe at the river fords. Medicated toothbrushes, pots of sandal, ointments to be used after the bath, bright mirrors, costly robes, ivory clogs, shoes, boots, tiny boxes of collyrium, combs for the hair, the beard, the whiskers, and the moustaches, flashing weapons such as are affected by warriors, bows, armor, beds, and seats, lay neatly arranged in boundless profusion. Spacious tanks full to the brim with crystal sweet water for the elephants, horses, and other animals to drink from when they were fed were constructed in various places with broad and comfortable folds leading them to the water. There were other sheets of water, clear as the sky and sweet as nectar, that tempted the beholders to bathe and disport themselves amidst the lotuses and lilies that carpeted them. Verdant lawns were there, waving with soft and sweet grass for the cattle to graze. All wondered mightily when they beheld the yogic power of Bharadwaja bring down on earth in a moment the rare and numerous elements that contributed to entertain Bharata and his army. Marvelous as dream pictures, baffling all worlds, all thought, and so beautifully adapted to everyone's wants and desires. Like the celestials amusing themselves in Nandana, the garden of heaven, Bharata's retinue and troops spend the night in the Maharishi's ashrama in a long spell of delight. At last, the heavenly caterers took respectful leave of the sage, Gandharvas, Apsaras, and the Naiads. But this grand entertainment did not vanish into airy nothing like the magician's glamour. The guests continued to experience, even after the feast, the same sensations of pleasure and delight that they felt during it. The full-fed epicures, the determined heroes that never turned their back upon Bacchus as long as there was a spark of intelligence in them, the peripatetic repositories of fragrant pastes and rare perfumes, and the living trees hid beneath sweet-scented wreaths and garlands, the earth was strewed far and near with flowers. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunabdhe Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.